It's my very great pleasure to welcome Sophie Dorothy Leeker to this edition of the podcast series Felsted Talks. Sophie Dorothy followed her sister to Felsted for the sixth form, coming to us from Tanzania and excelling at the IB before gaining first class honours degree at St Andrews in biology and geography. After university, Sophie Dorothy won a scholarship to undertake a 9-month research project showcasing action against plastic pollution, which launched Plastic Unwrapped. Sophie Dorothy, thank you so much for joining us today, and we look forward to hearing about your time at Felsted and also what you've been doing since Felsted.
It's my pleasure, thank you.
Well, you told us a bit about the initiative of Plastic Unwrapped a few years ago in the OF magazine, the Felstedian. I wonder if you could just remind everybody what this project entailed, and perhaps now also have a look at what impact it's had.
Absolutely. So Plastic Unwrapped is a partnership that seeks solutions to plastic pollution by learning and exploring and idea sharing various solutions and building connections. And it was born thanks to a travel scholarship through the University of St Andrews. And my fellow friend and biologist and traveler and then housemate Millie Clover and I applied for this scholarship together, because after having trialed a plastic-free month in St Andrews, we were soon confronted by the contextual challenges of using plastic as a resource. And this quickly led to founding Plastic Unwrapped, which has since taken us to over 10 countries, including Canada, Panama, Ecuador, South Africa, Australia, and Indonesia, to name a few. And in each of these countries, we were exploring and learning how different people use plastic in different ways and how plastic has various meanings depending on where you are and your circumstances. And through collaborations, we've established over 50 global partnerships, and that ranges from everything from individuals to NGOs to activists to companies. And so I would say the impact is twofold. First of all, a measurable impact. So we created short documentary style videos, as well as a networking platform. But then also the impact that it's harder, the harder to measure impact. So the conversations that we've sparked based on our social media posts. So both the tangible impact, but also the non-tangible impact in questions and conversations about sustainability, specifically focusing on plastic.
Well, that's an amazing rate of progress in just a few short years. And it's an area that lots of young people are particularly interested in. I think the understanding of the impact on our climate is higher in this generation than it's ever been before. One of the challenges young people face is that feeling of, how can I have an impact? What difference can I make? If it doesn't really matter what I do, because that won't change anything. And it sounds as though you sort of tapped into that and given people a way to look past that.
Definitely. And I think with questions of sustainability, I think individual action is a key. And that was actually one of our aims, to showcase what individuals are doing in their community. And although change has to happen top down, there is this untapped agency and potential that exists within individuals and societies and populations. And working with various people around the globe, I think, really has reinforced my belief and optimism that we as individuals can make a difference, and we constantly make choices. And if we can just change those choices to have a bit more of a sustainable spin to them, I think we can achieve great things.
No, that's really good to hear. And as I say, I think it's something that's really relevant for young people today to take into their everyday life. And one of the things that we really promote with students at Felsted is this idea of them trying to make a difference to the world they go out into, which is clearly what you're doing. I just wonder, what was it that inspired you, though, to follow this particular path?
So I grew up back home in Tanzania in a fixing household, as I like to call it. And my mother was and is my biggest motivator and encouragement to not only see a problem, but to identify solutions or scope for change. So it started off really small with just household things, scraping out bowls, emptying tins, reusing various different resources, fixing instead of buying new. And those little actions, I could see the difference that we were making. And without really noticing, she really instilled this great appreciation and connection and respect for resources and the environment. And this played or founded or shaped a significant, I guess, stewardship, which then equipped me to explore that further through my academic background, which straddled both the natural and social sciences, to continuously be influenced and challenge questions of sustainability.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. And you know, Tanzania is a beautiful country with fantastic natural resources in terms of its landscapes and things to go and see over there. Tourism plays quite a big part in Tanzanian economy.
Definitely, definitely. And I mean, through COVID, the impact unfortunately can be seen, and the potential that tourism has on the economy, but also how that filters into other problems and opportunities, which are, it's a challenge regardless. But in terms of the tourism industry and COVID, I think it just shows the fragility of the whole system.
Yeah, it's had a massive impact here at school as well. And I think all travel has virtually been on hold now for more than 12 months. So it's quite a challenge globally. And hopefully we're starting to see a way out through vaccination in the UK. But I know that large parts of the world are still a bit of a way behind on that. So hopefully Tanzania will get back on its feet. And the tourism industry can reestablish itself.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, yeah. Now one of the things that we really promote for students as well is the idea that if they want to learn, they have to be prepared to make mistakes. You know, the growth mindset is all about pushing yourself, make the mistake, learn from it, and then go on and develop from there. I would imagine that your experience working with Plastic Unwrapped has brought you all sorts of challenges. Have there been times where you think, oh, I've definitely got this wrong? How do we change that? And how do you learn from that?
I think definitely, and especially with having a biological background, you approach situations with a certain mindset. And I mean, I get teased by my friends. I'm very squeamish. And I also remember studying biology, even in the IB, does not always complement a squeamish personality. So I do, in fact, remember sitting in Mr. Peart's lab doing dissections and having to muster up the courage to brace the end of class. And I think, you know, we have these certain personality traits, and ultimately, what underpins these is our passion and our reason for doing things. So in terms of plastic and Plastic Unwrapped, I think although I try to seek optimism and I'm a very positive person, I think I definitely was very shocked and hit by the true extent of the plastic problem when walking along Tortuga Bay on the Galapagos Islands. And this is a beautiful, beautiful beach, which pretty much seemed devoid of human impact. But then when you look closer at the sand, you see all these brightly colored tiny pieces of plastic debris and fishing rope fibers that are washed up with each tide. And it looks like someone went into the pantry and took out the rainbow sprinkles and went along the beach. And I think these moments, they really hit hard, and they question what you're even doing with your positivity and whether their hope even still exists. But I think coming back to what we mentioned before, your personal agency and your passion, and letting your passion guide through your vulnerabilities, whether that is just personality, like your squeamish nature, or your just feeling so small in such a big, complex world. I think that's one important aspect of a growth mindset, because you might not be able to see the whole picture, but you can always learn something about yourself and about others. And if you don't necessarily agree with something, you can think about the skills or lessons that you can then gain from different experiences. And, you know, there are always people that want to learn and hear from you. And I think this is especially important when you might feel not confident or when imposter syndrome creeps up, to be reminded that you have stories and experiences to share. And that is, I think, key to having a growth mindset, that there's always something to learn and you can always share something as well.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. I always feel that with speaking in front of an audience, if you don't believe what you're saying is worthwhile, then nobody in the audience will. So you have to start with yourself, get that right, and then deliver. And as you say, if you've got a message that you believe in, it's so much easier to put that message across with power and with persuasion.
Absolutely.
And I like your description of the squeamishness of the biology dissection. I was never a scientist myself, but we've just sent our son off to university to study veterinary science. So he's much better with the sort of squeamish side of things than I am. But I can see that can be a challenge at times as well. And when you first came to Felsted, traveling across the world to board with people that you didn't know, doing a course that you was unfamiliar, I hope people reached out to you and showed kindness. It's something that, you know, again, at Felsted, we value highly. Was that your experience? Is kindness something that you put a high store on as well?
Definitely. And I think the beauty about kindness is that it can't be measured. And especially through Plastic Unwrapped and the travels, I've witnessed that people express kindness in so many different ways, and yet it's universal across cultures. And it might be material, it might be sharing a meal, it might be just listening and understanding how it's there in so many different forms. And if you be kind to others, you are sure to get kindness back in its own different way. And I think this is one thing that I experienced also in Felsted, in such a close-knit community where various different people from various different walks of life come together, and being open and encouraging each other in our talents and areas of strengths and weaknesses, and especially doing the IB where it's not always happy-go-lucky, but being kind to others and knowing when to compliment each other's weaknesses and playing to each other's strengths ultimately.
Yes, I mean, kindness is a win-win. You gain and so do the people you're kind to. So it feeds itself. And you mentioned the IB there, the International Baccalaureate. That's a really good course, a really interesting course, but can be quite taxing. What sort of impact do you feel that had on you as a student and as a person?
I definitely think that it was challenging, but it really helped me develop resilience and dedication to what I enjoy doing, as well as knowing how to shape priorities. And I think Felsted provided a great environment for this because of all the extracurricular opportunities that I had the privilege of engaging in, whether that was swimming or orchestra, things that growing up in Tanzania, you don't really have the opportunity to do so. So on top of the academic side, I really felt that the IB through its extracurricular programs, and then with Felsted providing the built environment and the resources to do so, I think understanding how to shape a work-life balance and prioritizing different aspects throughout your day, I think that's one thing that I've really gained, that I look forward to gain further as I continue my academic career.
No, that's good. And I know one of the activities you did was that you completed the Gold Duke of Edinburgh Award, which obviously we've just gone through the sadness of the death of the Duke of Edinburgh. One of the things that people have talked about a lot is the benefit that scheme has had for so many students in terms of their self-development. And I just wondered what your reflections were on that particular award.
I think it's such a good opportunity to understand where your personal areas of strength and weakness lie, both in academia, but beyond, with the residential course, with the other activities. And I think it really helps you build a well-rounded personality and character, which for everyone, for people with various different backgrounds, and having that openness and accessibility that you can approach the course and the award not only from starting from the bronze entry point, but also like I did from the gold direct entry. I think making that accessible is really beneficial, so everyone can have that opportunity to understand and navigate various different contexts and environments.
And did you get to go to the palace for the award?
I did, yes. That was very exciting.
Who was giving it out that day?
Karen, no. It was quite a while back.
Yeah. Tell me then, you mentioned Mr. Peart's biology and cutting things up in there, but what about a particular memory? Is that when you think back to Felsted days, is there something that really sticks in your mind, a positive memory or something that happened that you felt made a real impact on you?
So I really enjoyed swimming, and I think that was encouraged and helped me with my work-life balance through Rebecca Warners. I think she's now Mrs. Sloman.
Yes.
Who was a swimming instructor and also a Thorne tutor. And her dedication to the sport and just support was great. And having fun at water polo sessions in the evening to early morning swim training, I thought that was great. And it was lovely to have a bit of fun outside of the academic side.
Yeah, no, excellent. Excellent. Are you still swimming now?
I've put that on the back burner for the time being.
Okay, yeah. Because at the moment, you've just come back to Lancaster to complete your master's, I believe.
I have, yes.
And what's the topic that you're studying?
I'm doing my master's in environmental management.
Okay, and do you have to focus in a particular area there?
Yeah, so my current dissertation is on pro-environmental behavior and looking how that's being administered and mediated in small businesses within the hospitality sector, so cafes and restaurants, and how they respond to social pro-environmental behavior compared to top-down policy-driven behavior changes.
Okay, wow, very interesting topic. Are you able, in times of COVID, are you able to get all the feedback and the data you need for that?
It has to be done online, so I'm very thankful for technology allowing Plan B to happen.
Yes, yeah. And how does Lancaster compare to St Andrews? I know St Andrews is a stunning place to study at.
It is, and I really enjoyed my time in St Andrews there. Lancaster, it's also such a beautiful city. They both share castles and cathedrals and close access to the countryside and nature, which I really enjoy doing in my spare time and being out in the hills.
Oh, fantastic. And probably when you came to Felsted, you were steered here by your sister who'd already done the IB with us. But why Felsted for the family? What was the thinking behind Felsted?
I think they were very attracted by the openness to welcome international students and the support that international students could get in terms of it, like small little logistical things that you could stay at Felsted during the Exeat weekends. But also the whole cultural aspect, and that through Felsted, I mean, retrospectively, I've learned so much about the British culture, but also the musical or theatrical culture and just the opportunities that I could explore. And I think that's such a strong and attractive selling point, making that available to the whole international community.
Yeah, no, it's a really important thing for people to remember that every student who comes in from a different background, a different country, a different experience is a brilliant resource for their learning. to find out what their life has been like, what their education's been like. And at the same time, if you've got somebody who's brilliant on stage or a wonderful musician or a great sports player or whatever it is, every student can learn from that person, I think. And the same when we talk about environmental change. If we've got someone who really inspires other students, that actually makes the most difference to their experience, probably.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what about the future then? You're completing your master's, but Plastic Unwrapped, is that what you're looking to take further?
So that, I think that will always be a side hustle. And okay. In light of COVID-19, unfortunately, it definitely put a spanner in the works with all the physical projects that we had lined up for the year. So while we were able to continue virtually, I do have a PhD lined up in sustainable food systems as from September. So I will be continuing in the realms of academia, but keeping Plastic Unwrapped as a side hustle. And they do complement each other very well, as I'll be looking at the trade-offs within sustainable food systems, including packaging. And that's where Plastic Unwrapped and my experience and connections and networking and people that I've met will be able to feed in and shape it.
Excellent. So is that continuing at Lancaster?
No, it's actually in Germany, in Göttingen, right in the middle of the country.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that'll be a challenge, but also hopefully hugely rewarding. And, the very best wishes for the continuation of Plastic Unwrapped and ongoing success, because, as I say, I think it's an area where so many people want to get involved and sometimes are not quite sure how to do it. But you're talking to a whole generation of people who are going to have to make that change.
Yeah, definitely.
But thank you so much for joining us today. It's lovely to talk to you again after a few years, and keep up the good work and enjoy Lancaster. So thank you very much, Sophie Dorothy, for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So that was Sophie Dorothy Leaker talking to Chris Townsend, headmaster at Felsted School. Thank you, Sophie Dorothy, for taking the time to step into this podcast episode. Now, as always, the next episode is going to be out shortly, so don't forget to follow this podcast channel so that you don't miss that one. But until then, thank you for listening to this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now.